Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And this week, folks, we're talking about social media.
Yes.
I'm actually really excited about this, because when we came up with this topic, it was the natural sequel to last week's, which is working with a photographer. You work with a photographer. Why do you want to work with a photographer? Why do you want all these pretty shots? You're going to put them on social media and for other marketing purposes. Yeah. And for many, many haunts, social media is the primary marketing outlet these days.
Right. And we've done, you know, topics of guerrilla marketing and other marketing, and we've touched on this in those. But we haven't sat down and done a full episode just on social media.
Yeah, we've brushed. This is one of those topics we've, like, skimmed multiple times from multiple different angles, but never really dove into. So that's what we're doing this week. And if you want to see those other episodes, or see or listen to those other episodes, I should say, where we skimmed the surface of this topic, you can go to hauntweekly.com. Yep. And also, we're Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter. You can also find us at youtube.com/hauntweekly. That's our YouTube channel. Episodes go live there pretty much concurrently to when they go live on the site and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And while you're there, take a moment and check out our COVID-19 page, hauntweekly.com/COVID-19. That's COVID-19. No dashes, no caps, no funny business. It is a collection of links to help during these very unusual times. It includes both stuff for about opening haunts and operating a haunt during COVID-19, but also stuff that just might be fun to do. Yeah. Take a virtual tour of the Muter Museum. Take a virtual tour of Eastern State Pen.
Yeah.
The catacombs in France.
Yeah, we've actually been doing online escape games recently.
And I want to do an episode about that in the next series.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something we now can talk about that we've done a few. I want to do a few more from different companies.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to. But that's something I think in the next month we're going to have a full episode on.
Right.
So, yeah, check that out. All the links are there. And as always, you can join us Sundays at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on our Facebook.com/Haunt Weekly, our Facebook page, as we do these podcasts live like madmen.
Yes. Which I'm watching.
Yes, indeed. Well, first thing is first, we have to announce the winner from the question of the week.
Yes.
As we continue this trek to give away all the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, those of you who were previous winners, I think we have three now.
Four.
We have four now? We're counting this one.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. But anyways, if you are a previous winner, we will be getting in touch shortly, but get your mailing address and put it in the mail.
Yes, because there might be other things other than buttons.
Yeah, there was some extra things included. Those extra things were being built and worked on, I should say.
Yeah.
Enough are done to send to the current winners, and that's what's going to happen.
Yep. And we're also looking into getting a button maker so that we can make more in the future.
Yes, Derek, you have inspired us in ways no one else has, and I don't know if I should thank you or hate you, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know. I'm seeing this whole button collection now, like Haunt Weekly winner, Haunt Weekly top fan, Haunt Weekly, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
I'm just going to make Repo the Genetic Opera buttons. You know that, right?
Yeah, we can make you a Ginkgo button.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Ginkgo badge looking thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be neat. I like. Or no, like the patch.
So now you're into the buttons.
Now I'm into this. Like the patch on the Repo Man costume, the circular one
exactly.
Right on the sleeve. That would be awesome.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm down with this now. So yes, that Brian Foreman is the winner. Sorry, you're supposed to announce that.
That's okay. Yes, Brian gave us the suggestion of doing weekly Facebook event contest, which ties into the marketing, which tied in well with last week. So.
Yeah, it was just too perfect of a flow to not have that be the winner.
Exactly.
So yeah, it was too perfect. I agree. But this week's question, we're taking a question that was asked to us.
Yeah, and changing it just a little.
Tweaking it and changing it and making it hopefully an interesting one for you all to answer.
Mm-hmm.
This week's question of the week is this. If money were no object, what prop or costume item or other haunt-related item would you buy right away?
Yeah.
What would you run out and pick up the second you found out money was no object? You hit the lotto, yeah?
Just one thing related to your haunt.
What would you buy? And I actually knew the answer for me before I even...
You came up with a question, so...
Before I came up with the question, I knew the answer.
Okay.
And it is, I would buy the CFX geezer mask.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. I have seen it on people at like HauntCon and so forth. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in action. It's the perfect mask for Bernie Baxter. It looks exactly like how I picture Bernie in my head.
Yeah.
We use the much cheaper DOA mask. It's still an $80 to $90 mask we're talking about here. Still a good mask, don't get me wrong. But the CFX one is just so much better, and I would love to have that, and it's $630 to get it shipped to my door. I looked it up today. They're offering free shipping through the summer. So that saves you $60. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy about that. But it's still $630, and the budget of our haunt as home haunters... That's like
most of it.
That's between half and two thirds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of our budget. And I mean, basically, like I remember a few years ago, we had a conversation about getting it, and we decided to build the queue line structure instead because the queue line structure was cheaper.
Yeah.
Even when made out of pressurized wood, even when we put the hard roof on it, it was cheaper. I think the whole project came under $600.
Right.
And the mask comes in a significantly about closer to $700 without discounts. So, yeah, the CFX geezer mascot, I want that so bad, but no, I don't think I'm going to have it. Your answer.
So I actually am going a different route with this.
Mm.
So I would like to get actor training for our actors. just a Zoom call with probably Japes. To get actor training for our actors. If money was no object, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because I know that that's one of our weakest areas.
Yeah, and then that comes from running only three or four nights a year and not having a lot of time to train. Because a lot of haunt training ultimately happens on the job.
Yeah, it does.
And that's true for any job, but it's especially true for haunt training because if you've never been a haunt actor before, I'll guarantee you, you've probably never done anything like it, even if you've been in theater, even if you've done stuff that's as adjacent as you can get.
Right.
You've never done anything like haunt acting.
Right.
You've got a lot of new skills to learn there. We have a cat attacking us, apparently.
Yeah.
Cat gets the heat.
Well, I'm trying to keep him down on the floor.
Gently keep him down right now. Anyways.
So,
yes, that is the question of the week. If money were no object, what prop, costume, or item related to your haunt would you buy? Excited to see your answers. I see Crystal's chat's working, so... This should go much more smoothly.
Yes, it is. And I'm able to copy and paste the answers into a note. So
and it
I
saves you
later.
Time.
It does. And I don't have to have Ellie, send it to me.
By a text message, Thank you, Ellie, for doing that last week again.
Yes.
You saved our bacon. A quick housekeeping note while we're discussing the podcast stuff. This episode is going to be a first. We will have transcripts for this episode.
Okay.
I am enabling, we are enabling transcripts on this episode. We are paying a very expensive professional transcripting service to analyze this and give, we're just having Amazon do it for $1 an hour. But no, we're actually going to have these go through an automatic translation. So if something's hard to hear or you want to search for something in future episodes, it'll be much easier to do. The real reason we're doing this is to make things more searchable.
Right.
Because we talk about a lot of things that aren't in the show notes themselves.
Yes, we do.
And even though I try to port the show notes over to the actual online show notes as well as I can, there's a lot that doesn't get mentioned in there. So hopefully transcripts will help. Also, it might be comedy to see how Amazon mishears Haunt Weekly.
Yeah.
Haunting. Haunted attraction. I'm imagining Facebook's transcription service is exploding right now. Amazon's transcription service. So that's good. It's going to be the first one. They'll be on hauntweekly.com. I'll be curious to see how it goes.
Yeah,
I'm interested in it. Okay, we also have some quick midweek news. We're going to talk more about this next week. We have a news episode next week, but it didn't feel like we could skip it completely.
Right.
Basically, Halloween and Horror Nights, both Orlando and Hollywood, are canceled for 2020.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunately not a surprise. Long story short, one of the things we've talked about a couple of times is, like, between, say, January and, August or so, it can be kind of slow for haunted attraction news. And one of the things we get is a drip feed of Halloween Horror Nights announcements. Those have not been coming out this year. So I'm not surprised. I will say that they were advertising, they were hiring for it as of a few weeks ago. We'll talk more about that, like I said, tomorrow, next week. But long story short, HHN has decided to cancel for 2020. They will not be running either show. So, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Also, a quick update to our mask episode, which was a few episodes back.
Yes.
Long story short, in that episode, we mentioned and somewhat recommended the use of face shields. That seems to be somewhat divisive.
Yeah.
The research shows it doesn't protect the wearer, which that's not really the point of masks.
Right.
I wear my mask to protect you. You wear your mask to protect me. That's how it works. But the research doesn't show, because it doesn't show that it's effective to protect the wearer, but there's a split on effectiveness when it comes to reducing transmission. Some studies say it is effective or is likely effective. Some mm-hmm. say it isn't. And one of the problems is, I actually read some of the research today, one of the problems is there's very few actual studies. They're all simulations.
Yeah. Well, there was the one article that came out that actually prompted us to put this in here.
Yeah.
Where in Sweden, I think.
Yeah.
They the bartenders were not protected by wearing just the face shield, and their customers did get sick also. It wasn't just bartenders. There was an outbreak there.
So
we can provide that link later.
It may be worth looking into as a supplemental measure, but right. Yeah, the
face mask are still the way to go.
Yeah, cloth masks are definitely the way to go still. But like I said, we're watching signs happen in real time here. This could change tomorrow, could change next week. Mm-hmm. This is how science is. Normally, we don't notice it because we only eat the sausage after it's made.
Right.
And now the sausage is being made in front of us.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind. This is normal for science to have study, contradict study. Then right. You do meta-analyses, and then meta-analyses, and then eventually science gets the right answer.
Yes.
That's how science works. It's basically a giant conflict of ideas that culminates in someone being proved mostly right.
Yes.
You know, we're still in the combat phase of this, right. So to speak. Social media. Let's get to the happy thing. Good God, I needed that. Yeah. Social media. Okay, look, I know 2020 is up in the air for a lot of haunts, mm-hmm. pretty much all haunts, I think. But either way, now is the time to begin planning your social media strategy. Mm-hmm. And social media is going to be much more important in 2020 than I think it's ever been for haunts.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's especially if you close.
Yes. Some of the things that I've been seeing haunts do have been really interesting. There have been a few times where, you know, I see such and such haunt went live, and so I click on it, and it's two of their characters chatting back and forth in character,
mm-hmm.
which those are fun.
Yeah. Anyway. The long and short of it is, I mean, you're not going to want to spend a lot of money or time announcing right. a closure. This is the easiest, fastest way to get the word out there and to maintain contact through the season mm-hmm. and next year.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing is, even if you do open, social media is going to be more important than ever.
Right.
Because people are inside a lot more.
They are.
Like, I was thinking about, as I was writing these notes, I realized, oh my God, our usual practice of just printing a few thousand flyers and distributing, that idea is dead.
Yeah.
Holy God, our whole marketing strategy just got taken out back and shot.
Yeah.
Old Yeller style. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we might be able to distribute a few hundred flyers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Spirits open in a few other locations, we might be able to get some flyers, but nowhere near as much.
No.
Because I know a lot of the businesses we distribute at either are closed or doing curbside / delivery only.
Right.
Or a takeout, and the takeout in no way helps distribute flyers.
Yeah. And the other thing about social media right now is that a lot of people are going to want to know what you're putting in place to keep them safe.
Yeah.
And to keep yourself safe.
Indeed.
So you want to be able to put that out and share it as it evolves, because as we've already said, this is an evolving situation.
Yeah, and like I said, other forms of advertising are being weakened still. Radio and outdoor advertising are taking huge hits here.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they're saying those industries may not be negatively impacted. But believe me, radio listenership has gone down. People listen to radio primarily in cars.
Right.
People aren't driving as much.
Yeah.
And outdoor advertising, where do you think people see that? They see it in cars.
Yes.
That's gone down too. So yeah. But despite all the benefits of social media, there's still a lot of haunts that don't really invest in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be honest, this is definitely a do as we say, not as we do podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, with Haunt Weekly, we're not that bad.
Right.
But with our main haunt page, we're trash.
Yeah.
With our haunt page.
We have not been doing well.
And that's on me. I've made New Year's resolution after New Year's resolution to get better about it. And I felt maybe I will take this as the impetus.
Yeah.
Maybe this will do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I swear it's easier to get me to break a million other bad habits than to actually get good about posting the Bernie Baxter page.
Yeah.
Anyways. So the first question is always the same. What platforms should you be on?
Yes.
The answer? Wherever the hell your customers are.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it.
Exactly.
And that's going to be different for different haunts in different regions and different locations. If you have a haunt that skews older, you're going to have different needs than a haunt that skews younger, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a haunt that's in a much more rural area, then it's going to be different than an urban area.
Right.
Because this is something social media usage varies from location to location. And long story short of it is that Facebook and Instagram are probably your cores. Facebook and Instagram are your cores, and they're going to be your cores probably for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Along with Twitter. Though I kind of put Twitter in like a second tier there.
Yeah.
Because for reasons I don't understand fully, people don't seem to engage with haunts a lot via Twitter. It's not that it's not a place to do it. And one of the problems is Twitter is not a local thing.
It's not a local thing. It also, you know, how much can you say? You know, you can advertise your television spots or, you know, we're having a live event over on this other platform, but then they still have to follow you on that other platform. And so then that's where you get people actually following you to keep up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's as long as there's this lack of geographical targeting in Twitter, and this because Twitter is like a worldwide thing. You tweet to speak to the world.
Yeah.
Where Facebook and Instagram, you speak to your audience.
Right. But, I think that it's not bad to speak to the world.
Awesome. This way.
Because, I don't think it's bad to speak to the world because we've gotten visitors from all over the world.
Yeah, much to my surprise, yes.
And large haunts definitely get visitors
True.
From everywhere.
I mean, I'm not saying don't participate on Twitter,
right.
But it may not be your primary tool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's not as targeted.
It's not going to be your driver.
Yeah, it's not going to be most of your customers.
Most haunts do have a Twitter, but the Twitter is fed off of the Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
So long story short, think of Facebook and Instagram as your first. Twitter is also an essential, just because of the geographic targeting issue. Now, the other thing, but the obvious thing is you have to ask your customers. You are doing surveys, right? We have talked about doing surveys 100 times before.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you ask on the surveys is what social media platforms are you active on?
Right, exactly.
Ask that every time.
Yes.
And that way you can get a handle on what they're actually using and engaging with.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe your audience isn't very Facebook heavy, but they're very Instagram heavy.
Right.
Maybe your audience is Twitter heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe your audience is like all in on Facebook. Just ask a good question would be, tick all of the social media platforms you have used in the past week.
Yeah, and there are survey forms that can be put directly onto your social media, as well as, you know, if you've got an email list, people sign up for.
And one thing I've seen is like, I think the mortuary does it here. Where you can get $1 off your ticket if you share it on Facebook and share it on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can track those shares
mm-hmm.
and know what people are using. Not only does that, you know, help you get the word out,
right.
But it also tells you which platforms your customers are on.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if like 90% of your social shares are Facebook, well, you know. So you can track that too. There are other social networks to consider though.
Mm-hmm.
First up is TikTok.
Yes.
And you said you're bailing me out here, so start bailing me out.
Okay, so we have a friend who has a gift for finding out what the latest craze is with the youth.
And I don't get it. She is older than all of us.
Yes, but I think it's because of you know, she gets more exposure.
Yeah.
To
through her job. I agree. Yeah, through her job. Yeah. Jobs, plural, in her case,
so it is a less explored for advertising, especially for Haunt. But, you know, the age demo is perfect for Haunts because it's 16 to 30. 16 to 24 makes up 41% of all TikTok users. 24 to 30 make up most of the rest. So that's almost all of your customers right there.
Yeah.
It was also the most downloaded app in 2020.
January 2020. Sorry, you made a typo.
I did.
18 years ago, it was.
Yeah, exactly.
2002. Holy shit, TikTok's old.
Yeah, but it has 800 million people using it right now.
Yeah, and but one thing to bear in mind, and one of the reasons I'm a little skeptical of it, is the local targeting isn't going to be as good. You target. Yeah. You said you target through hashtags.
Yeah.
Which, okay, that's good, but at the same time, it's not going to be as good as Instagram or Facebook, which does geotagging,
right?
And can knows exactly where people are.
Yeah, but that is true. But you could, you know, check for hashtags for your area. You can also do hashtags for haunted and haunted house and things like that. Those are some of the ones that were actually suggested. And TikTok challenges are very popular right now. That's mm-hmm. how most of the engagement comes about. Everybody's probably seen a paintbrush challenge where something's dropped from one screen to the next and, you know, or tossed up and the person completely changes from no makeup to full makeup. I've seen a few haunt actors do this themselves. So, you know, I think that it's got some legs, but I think that it's still so new that there's a lot of experiment that needs to be done.
Yeah, and the risk here is, A, if you do it, you might be seen as bandwagon jumping. Yeah. It's the new, cool, trendy thing. We have to be a part of it.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true. Second problem, potentially, is you might be investing time and resources into something that may not be relevant in just a few months. Mm-hmm. I mean, because like you said, this is something that hasn't been proved. It has legs for a long time yet.
Yeah.
Over the long haul. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, it actually started in 2016, but it's just recently gained.
It blew up really big.
In the past couple of years.
Past couple of months.
Yeah.
Really. A next suggestion to look at for your area is Nextdoor. It is a hyper-local social network. It's built on the back of Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because it allows you to communicate with strangers, basically. But strangers that actually live close to you. So we all always say we don't know our neighbors and all that stuff. That's what Nextdoor tries, at least in its mission statement, tries to cure.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is it doesn't really have the best reputation. Mm-hmm. It's had a lot of problems recently with basically racists using it to talk about black people walking through their neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing Nextdoor has implemented some policies to try to mitigate that, but it's unclear how effective it's been. So it's kind of got a dirt soiled reputation in that area. But if you're really trying to target hyper locally, it could work out. We have done promotions on Nextdoor, not paid ones, but we've used Nextdoor for promotion to great effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked out very, very well. And we actually have people who track us and follow us on Nextdoor.
Yeah.
So something to think about. And do remember, with Nextdoor, the demo is not going to be as good. It skews homeowners and apartment renters and things like that. It skews head of household, which is going to push it into the mid-20s, into the 30s. Yeah. So I don't have the exact demos in front of me, but it ain't going to be 13 to 25.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just not TikTok.
No, it ain't TikTok. And that leaves YouTube.
Yeah.
Which is not really a social network, but it functions as one. People subscribe, people follow, people comment. Does all the things a social network does.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is actually been a thing. It's really interesting. I checked out about 24 or so major haunted attractions, and I looked at their social media today to kind of get a feel for what's going on out there. Every single one had a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, almost without fail. If anyone failed one of those three, I forgot it. Nearly all had a YouTube. Only one I checked had a TikTok.
Hmm.
And that was Haunted Overload.
Hmm.
Which, by the way, Haunted Overload is in need of a website revamp. Those guys are so awesome. The website doesn't capture their awesomeness to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the main thing, though, is to always be asking what social networks are in place, or what your customers are using, and follow up on that.
Right, and that's one of the things to remember about social media is that it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So you want multiple ways to reach your audience.
You're not going to do the Harlem Shake in 2020, I hope not.
No.
You would be foolish to do that.
Right.
So my advice is, listen to your customers, observe what they're doing, and follow their lead. It sounds like trend chasing, and sometimes it can be, but in reality it's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. All right, so this brings the broad ideas of social media. What are you trying to achieve, and how do you achieve it? Well, the main thing is you have to have brand consistency.
Right.
Your Facebook should look like your Twitter, which should look like your website, should look like your Instagram, which should look like your flyers, your TV commercials, everything. Everything has to tie together. If I visit your Facebook page and your Twitter page and don't immediately recognize it's the same company, that's a problem.
Yeah. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to create the little logo,
mm-hmm.
because those are pretty much everywhere on all of those platforms.
Yeah. Now, consistency and naming, how do you identify yourself?
Oh,
If you call yourself want something in one place and something else in another, I've seen haunts do that.
Yeah. Well, I actually had to do that with Nola Headdress.
Oh, yeah.
Because on Instagram, I have a hyphen underneath, or a dash underneath.
Yeah.
And Facebook, I don't.
But amazingly, Haunt Weekly was free
for
everything.
Yeah.
Just a shock.
Yeah.
But yeah. Basically, keeping consistency is important. Naming, logos, colors, profile, images, mm-hmm. everything you can. If I see you on A and I see you on B, I should connect the two immediately.
Yep, and we talked in depth on episode 83.
About brand consistency.
Yep.
Yes, we did. Then promotion.
Uh-huh.
Basically, one thing I find frustrating, and like it seemed like nearly every haunt I checked out did this,
mm-hmm.
was they just put their social media links in the footer. Like, here you go. Here's a bunch of icons. Click them. Go do things.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like having to find where I can find you.
Yeah. They should be prominently displayed. They should be everywhere you put your name, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They should be on your flyers. They should be mentioned or at least shown briefly on screen in your TV commercials.
Yeah.
They should be promoted everywhere you are promoted.
Yeah, and that includes like on your rules banner
yeah.
and things at the haunt.
Yeah, everywhere, literally, physical and online. They should be prominent on your website. I shouldn't have to hunt for your Instagram account. If I'm wanting to follow you on Instagram, I shouldn't have to work for it. It's tough. I agree. It's difficult. You're trying to give away a lot of information, and social media may not be as high a priority as, selling tickets. And it shouldn't be, but it should be, next high up, if you think about it. Because this is how you make repeat customers. This is how you stay in contact with people. This is how you maintain that relationship. You don't want someone to come buy a ticket, come once, and never come back, and you never see or hear from them again. You want repeat customers. You want year after year fans.
Mm-hmm.
The social media turns customers into fans.
Yeah.
It's really what it does.
It does.
So add it everywhere you can. Get people to connect with you. Make it a call to action for some of your marketing. Say, follow us here.
Yeah.
You can have multiple calls of action on a flyer.
Yeah.
You can say, buy tickets here. Follow us here. You can do that.
Right.
It's usually considered better to have one call of action, but here's the thing. If someone's not ready to buy a ticket yet, especially if you're an expensive haunt, they might be ready to follow you on Facebook, and then they'll get those exposures.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things you have to remember is most customers take between 3 and 9 touches with a brand before they buy into it.
Yeah.
Social media is a great way to increase the number of touches with minimal effort and minimal cost. It may not be their initial contact. The initial one may be that TV commercial, may be that flyer.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go to social media, then you got touches 2, 3, 4, 5 lined up. You can keep in contact with them, and then eventually they will buy. It's very rare for customers to buy on the first touch. It does happen, but it's rare.
Yeah.
The average is much higher. make sure your strategy has a good mix of organic and paid advertising.
Right.
You mostly want to focus on the organic stuff. That's the stuff that people are going to engage with and reach your those have actually expressed interest in you. But paid advertising is much like doing TV commercials or doing flyers or radio spots. It's a way to get in front of new eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you're doing a live event during COVID and one of your fans sees it, then they could have a viewing party and invite all their friends, and now you've got new eyeballs on you.
Yeah. The main thing with advertising, though, is to just look at it as a way to get in front of new people and attract them. So with organic posting, your live events and that type of stuff, the stuff that you post and don't pay to be promoted, focus on getting engagement and focus on keeping in contact with your current customers there. Always be mindful of community guidelines. Most industries don't really have to think about this too hard, but haunted attractions do. Mm-hmm. Haunted houses can easily run afoul of community guidelines. Facebook, for example, bars photos of dismemberment, visible internal organs, partially decomposed bodies, charred or burning people, unless in the context of cremation or self-immolation, when that act is in the form of political speech or newsworthy, victims of cannibalism, and throat slitting, just to name a few. That sounds like, a lot of those sound like things that happen in haunts. It might be in haunt ads if you're trying to be a little edgier than usual.
Yeah, and also, you know, they don't like a lot of blood or gore shown.
Yeah,
so.
You've got to keep... You know, your post is relatively tame. Because even if it's not taken down, even if it's not, like, outright removed, mm-hmm. you may be shadow banned. They may just decide that this is something they're not going to show to a lot of people.
Right.
Because number five is remember the algorithm.
Yeah.
The almighty algorithm. Mm-hmm. The algorithm, and Facebook has it, Instagram has it, Twitter has one, YouTube has one. TikTok, we know, has one, because mm-hmm. Dawn told us.
Yeah.
All these social media sites have one. Long story short, the goal of the algorithm is not to help you. It's to help the social network.
Right.
It wants to encourage people to stay on the site or within the app.
Yeah.
So, a good example of working this, if you want to share a video on your Facebook page, re-upload it to Facebook. Upload it once to YouTube, upload it again on Facebook. Put it in two different places. Why? Facebook shows extreme preference to its own videos over links to YouTube. Extreme preference.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's both more attractive visually, and it comes up much more in people's feeds.
Right.
It's much more likely to come up. So basically, it's how Facebook decides what to show. And the way Facebook does that is very interesting and weird. Basically, say you have 1,000 people following you.
Okay.
Just throwing a random number.
Yeah, we're getting close to that number.
And we are for quick maths. What Facebook will do is it will show the post to a subset of your audience, say 25, 50 people, not a large percentage. If those 25 to 50 people engage, like, comment, interact with the post, then it'll show it to broader. If it gets good engagement there, it goes broader and broader and broader. So, yeah, what you want to do is encourage engagement to reach your own audience. If you've ever had posts on Facebook where it's like you spit it out there and nobody sees it, it probably didn't encourage enough engagement, and Facebook showed it to no one other than those that it was most certain would care.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to touch on a couple of things because I've noticed with Facebook that seem obvious, but maybe a lot of people aren't doing them. I recently took over social media at my day job, and they weren't doing this. So every time you get likes, you can click on those and see if people are actually following you already. And if they're not, you can send them an invite directly through Facebook.
Yeah.
This is for Facebook.
And these are people that have already engaged with your post.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it makes sense to put them into the pool, because for the reasons we were just talking about,
right.
If they're in that pool, then you know they're already likely to like your stuff. That increases your odds, helps your content spread. Continue.
No, that's fine. Yeah, and you'll actually see if they like you or if they just have the invite and they're still invited. And if they keep liking things and they've still got the invite, I don't know what's up with them.
Yeah,
there's a few of those.
Maybe they're following and not liking. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be anything. But yeah. But you have to encourage that engagement.
Right. Exactly.
Do everything you can to encourage it. Contests are great. If allowed, be sure to follow both Facebook rules and local laws.
Right.
Meme posts. And you've seen those posts on Facebook. They annoy the hell out of me. But it's like, you know, heart for Jack Skellington.
Yeah.
You know, smiley face for, I don't know, for another character or whatever. Those things. You know what? They're stupid as hell. They annoy the piss out of me, but they get a ton of reacts. Reacts are engagement.
Yeah.
Just warning you. Those little weird poll ones with the reacts, those are a thing. They're popular. Discussion posts say, hey, what's your favorite? Ask a question. Yeah. What's your favorite thing about our Han?
Yeah.
No.
I think it would actually be interesting to do those meme posts like you're talking about, but with your different Han actors.
Mm.
Which one's the scariest? Which one do you want to see this year? You know.
Or if you do like we do and have characters from previous years.
Yeah.
You could do that. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and also, if all else fails, be sure to ask for engagement. Don't forget that. You can just simply say, hey, smash that like button, you know?
Yeah.
You see it on YouTube all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it also can work on Facebook and Instagram, too. Heart, please heart this, you know, things like that on Instagram. I barely know Instagram at all. The main point is to get people talking, get people engaging.
Yeah.
So, how do you create these interesting and engaging posts? I think you go back to last week's episode for a start.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, basically, take or have a lot of images and videos taken.
Mm-hmm.
As a writer, this next sentence chaps me, but visual content does significantly better on social media. Video and story content better still. But visual, social media is ultimately a visual medium.
Yeah. Videos get more engagement, and also live events and story events get more engagement than just posting a video to your Facebook.
Yeah. So even if you do text posts, it should include an image. I hate to say it, but look at how HHN did their cancellation announcement. We shared it on our page.
Yes.
They did it as an image.
Right.
That increased shares, that increased reactions, that got it out there to more people, got it to us within minutes of it going live. I think we were like within 10 minutes of it going up.
Yeah.
I ran across the hall and said, you know, HHN just canceled. And
I'm
going to post it on the Hot Weekly. And we were... In the first time, we were still the late to the game.
Yeah, exactly.
We were super fast, but still late to the game, you know? It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, see the previous episode, though, about working with a photographer to get good photos and short videos that you can use.
Yep.
Now, to make these posts, make these images and videos good for social media, there's an easy way and a hard way. The hard way is to get all the relevant sizes for the images you need for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever else you're using. Set them up in your favorite image editor. Go into Photoshop, set up templates and things like that. Reformat all of those images one by one, maybe using some kind of algorithm or something, but reformat them. And then, don't forget to make header images, profile images, and the supplemental stuff you need. It sucks. I've done it that way. It's miserable. It takes forever. It's not worth it.
Right.
The easy way. The easy way is to either use Canva, which is a service we've harped on multiple times.
Right.
Or a service called
Promoted multiple times.
Or Buffer. Specifically, Buffer has an app called Pablo, which will make custom images for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc. They both make it silly easy to reformat images for a variety of social platforms while maintaining visual consistency. Your images will look the same,
mm-hmm.
feel the same, have the same text overlaps, same design between them. Canva, to my mind, is much more flexible. You can do a lot more design work with it.
Right.
They have a lot more templates. And Canva has the ability to do GIFs, GIFs, whichever one you want to call it. I don't care. I'm not dying on that horse. But it has the ability to do GIFs. So, long story short, you can do short video content there as well now.
Right.
Even from static images. They'll do add animations to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a short video. Like, I've been doing that with the Haunt Weekly Live thing. Our thumbnail has been a short 2 to 3 second GIF.
Yes.
Make it a little more...
Snappy. Yes. The other thing is, I actually use Instagram and Facebook. And one of the things I really like about Instagram, so if those are the only two platforms you are on, If you post it to Instagram, you can automatically share it to your Facebook.
Yeah, it doesn't work the other way, though.
No, it doesn't work the other way. But if you put it on Instagram, you can share it to Facebook. Now, your tags won't always come over with you. So if you're using tags or anything like that, or, you know, linking to other people, you'll need to make sure. And that's part of that. You know, not everybody has the same name in one place as the other. And so you want to check those, but it makes it much easier.
Yeah. Good point. For generic and non-time content, definitely consider forward posting. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to set up like 2 or 3 months worth of posts in advance. You could do it in a lazy afternoon.
Yeah.
Very easily. It takes so much less time. And there, and Buffer, which we mentioned in the first act. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I would use both personally. I would get Canva for the design and Buffer for the management.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Because Buffer's management tools are second to none in my experience. Pablo, their free image creator thing, it's cool, but it's also somewhat limited. And I think, you know, you can do better with Canva as far as image creation, especially if you want to do GIFs. But Buffer's management of social media is just beyond par, beyond the pale. It's great. It's awesome. And, yeah, you can set up 2 to 3 months worth of posts. If you post once a week, like you say you do Friday posts, mm-hmm. just set, get a calendar in front of you, get the images, and get Buffer and...
Yeah, well, especially if you've just done this photo shoot, you know, you've got all these new photos you want to share out, put them on a schedule, and share them out.
Now, obviously, you're going to want to keep in mind what's going on, so that way if something happens that you have to address more urgently, you can take something out of the... And one thing I do like about Buffer is, for example, if Thursday something happened and I had to do a social media post, I could take the post that would have been Friday and move it to the end of the queue if it's not time sensitive. Just take it to the end of the queue, and it just tack on to the end. It's great. I love that. So, yeah, my thought there is, use both Canva and Buffer, to my mind.
And how many posts per week do you think most haunts should do?
At least one per week, and then include in the off-season. Ideally, when you're open, you should be posting at least every day you're open, probably damn near every day.
Yeah, just a, hey, we're... going live at our hunt tonight. Yeah, here's our people outside or something.
Yeah. Also, definitely if you can do live events, these have become really big during COVID, but they've always been preferred. Facebook especially shows, Facebook and YouTube both show extreme preference to live events. If someone goes live on my Facebook or my YouTube, I get alerts about it instantly.
Yeah.
Even if I only barely view or engage with that channel.
Yeah, and now you get a small preview of what they're actually doing, too.
Yeah.
They just added that in.
So, yeah, think of things you can do live. I mean, it could be like you mentioned the two characters talking and maybe having a comedy routine and character. Mm-hmm. It could be doing a Q&A with the haunt owner.
Yeah.
Those can be fun. It could be watching people, hey, watch us build this prop or something. Yeah. It could be whatever. It could be anything.
It could be, you know, some of your monsters learned a dance together.
Yeah.
You know, do a dance craze.
But there's tons of live things that you can do. Take advantage of it. Make it work. Maybe consider a podcast. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, taking Haunt Weekly live like this has been an incredible move.
Yes.
Because you guys see the stats on Facebook. Facebook puts those publicly.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, okay, well, that many people see it in the Facebook version. We're going to have, it'll be deducted from our downloads.
Right.
So we'll basically break up neutrals, what I thought. No. Downloads actually skyrocketed due to the new attention. We're probably doing about 2 to 3x the downloads / views, if you combine them.
Right.
That we were before we started doing this. So in just the past few months, we've grown probably 2 to 3x.
Which is incredible.
It is. And that's the power of live events. And, you know, that happened because we did the haunt tour, and we saw how high engagement it was. I'm like, well, damn, we could do the podcast live. You want to try that? Okay, we'll give it a shot. And then we gave it a shot. And now we're consistently trying to improve it. We're bringing new lights. Like I said, we've got things we're trying to fix, maybe a new microphone set up. But long story short, yeah, it was a huge success for us. It's been amazing. You guys have been very, very supportive of us.
Yes, we love the engagement.
Yeah.
It looks like the comments are still working, but I'm just going to go over to check.
Yeah, just check real fast. I'll continue because the next one's definitely core territory for me.
Yep.
advertising on social media. And dear God, we're running out of time.
Yes, we are.
All right, advertising on social media. I'll try to make this quick because I think it's the last thing, really. Advertising and social media, basically start advertising in the weeks before opening, but be careful not to start too early. Memories are short. You probably want to start like 1 to 2 weeks before opening, 3 at the most. I wouldn't go a full month just because memories are short and that's throwing money away. I know with Bernie Baxter, we're only open the 3 nights at the end of October, so we start our Facebook campaign typically October 14th or so. With social media, you should be funneling ads toward ticketing, in particular online ticketing. If you were not doing online ticketing, you were wasting money with social media advertising. You were literally throwing money away.
Because
basically all that on social media can do at that point is get people to like your page, which is good. Like I said, that's the second thing.
Right.
That's right below it. Yeah. It's very important. It's very good. But still, you'd rather than be buying the ticket, right? And that's the problem. It's the situation where if you're not doing online ticketing, there's no way to transfer the person who sees your online Facebook ad or YouTube ad or whatever to any way to make you money.
Right.
All you can do is make them aware and build awareness, which is good, but it's limited. You're leaving money on the table. You're not getting the full value for your dollar. Online ticketing is key. Targeting is going to be the most crucial thing with any social media campaign. The first focus has to be geography. We've talked about how far you should market your haunt before. 50 miles seems to be about what most people agree with. So focus tightly on that. Second is age. The haunt audience is typically between 13 and, say, 26 or so. We're looking at usually young males, but increasingly more women are coming too. You can't legally target younger. It might be tempting to try to target kids, especially if you have a family-oriented haunt.
Right.
But it is actually illegal to do.
Yes. So target the parents.
So target the parents in that case. You think, they're the ones paying the money anyway. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You think the 8-year-old's handing over his debit card to go in the haunted house. You're nuts. Depending upon where you're working at, you may be targeting the 18 to 39 demo, or as Chris Jericho calls himself, the key demo, the most important demo.
Yes.
The one he is the demo god of. Like 5 people understood that reference, I'm sure. But anyways, point being, you may have targeted 18 to 39 demo, which I'm exiting in 2 weeks. Oh my God. But yeah, you know the age of your customer. Focus on that. Those are the people you target. And once again, you're doing surveys.
Yes.
Right? You know these customers. You know who they are. You know how old they are. You know what social media they use. If you don't know these things, that's on you. Mr. or Mrs. is on you.
Yep.
Mr. and or Mrs., technically. when you get ready to launch your ad campaign, check the advertising guidelines carefully. Facebook and Instagram have unique rules to what can be in ads that are not in the community guidelines. They are separate from the community standards, and they're generally much more restrictive. Remember that ads are almost always reviewed before acceptance, which means some human somewhere is going to eyeball your ad, where a Facebook post that maybe pushes boundaries might never get a review from someone at Facebook or Instagram. Your ad will. So just remember that. So read the terms carefully. Like one of the weird ones, I ran into this. Yeah, because what you want to avoid is losing time, because the approval process typically takes 1 to 2 days, and since you're operating on a fairly tight schedule, you don't want to lose those 1 to 2 days by having your ad rejected. And I actually had that happen with Bernie Baxter. They rejected one of our ads, one of the first years we were doing Facebook ads, because we violated a rule of having too much of the ad be text. I don't remember what the exact percentages were, but it was too much text, not enough image, which is kind of difficult for us because our whole aesthetic is this old-timey wanted poster-looking thing that's very text-heavy. It's like, it's artsy text? Shut up! You know? Assholes? All right. Also, before you launch, be sure you have some way to track the ad, the results of the ads on your side. Facebook will let you know who likes your page and interacts with your post base. Believe me, they will let you know that. You don't have to worry about being told that. But make sure if you're sending people to your site, for online ticket sales, you have a way to track who arrives there, where they come from. and how much they spent, so you know your ROI for it. You know if you're having a problem with abandoned carts. You know things about the results of the ads.
Right.
Are those clicks counting? Because Facebook will tell you how many people click through. But they can't tell you what those clicks what happened to those clicks after they arrived.
Right.
And if they get lumped in with every other visitor on your site,
yeah,
you have no way of knowing.
Exactly.
You know, people came, you know, sales went up, but was it because of what you did with the ad?
Right. And there are some things, you know, make sure that you go into all of the settings in Facebook, because for business pages.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will let you target specific keywords.
Yes.
So people who like haunted houses can, you know, can get reached and that sort of thing. But it also makes sure that you're set up.
Yeah.
They also have a way to link directly to an online store. So if you have that, you can do that. And to schedule meetings.
Yeah.
So if somebody has a question about...
Or you're doing actor recruitment. You might do an ad for actor recruitment.
Exactly. Ads for actor recruitment. You can set up the schedule of a meeting.
And one of the limitations of the online store functionality,
yes,
and actually ran into this, was it's only compatible with certain storefronts.
Uh-huh.
So it'll work with, I think, like Weebly and mm-hmm. maybe Wix and some of those. But it doesn't really work with, like, Fear Ticket, like the big storefronts haunted attractions are using. To my knowledge, it doesn't work. I haven't tested it because I've never had to sell tickets. So it's one of the luxuries I have.
Yeah.
But long story short, make sure that your storefront is compatible with it if you're doing it. And if that's the case, the storefront will also take care of the tracking.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing about you have to make sure tracking's on your side, that's done.
Yeah, well, and then whenever you create your Facebook events, because you should be doing that.
Yes, you should.
For every night you're open, you should have an event. Make sure that you put the link for the tickets on that form that you fill out whenever you create it.
All right. And the final thing, next to final thing at least, is to monitor the ad as it runs. Check that tracking that you have. Check what Facebook's telling you. Is it getting the views you expected? Are those views resulting in clicks? Are those clicks buying things or taking the desired action?
Mm-hmm.
Is it working? Because ad campaigns online are not static. It isn't, well, here we go.
Right.
Prop up and just watch it happen. Well, dim the brakes, kid. No, it's a dynamic thing. Look at the feedback. Look at what you're seeing. Give it a little time. Give it a few days. Because sometimes the first couple days are wonky with a new campaign. It's just the way it is. Facebook or Instagram, whoever's got to hone in.
Yeah.
But long story short, learn what's going on. Learn what the deficiencies are and adapt. I actually made a pretty serious mistake with one of the Bernie Baxter campaigns that I adapted from.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the problems we had, one of the first years I did it, was I was targeting very heavily the immediate area.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook took that a little bit more extreme than I think I intended and didn't really reach people across the river. So we were getting very limited views on the campaign. In fact, we weren't going to spend our budget, basically.
Right.
So I had to adapt and then expand the radius a little bit. Yes, that meant some irrelevant people were put in.
Mm-hmm.
But it also meant many, many more relevant people were included.
Right.
So things like that you have to think about and make those adjustments on the fly. And you can do that with an ad campaign. You might have to get reapproval in some cases, but if you make a minor adjustment, that reapproval is usually very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they'll continue running the previous campaign until the new one gets picked up.
Yep.
So I think that's about all. Basically, do all that, lather, rinse, repeat, and that's social media for haunters.
Yep.
All right. Well, return to the weekly question. We got a few more minutes left. I'm dying to hear some of these responses.
Yes.
And by the way, Snowball, do you have an opinion? A cat has been hyper-aggressive today, wanting lovin's.
Yes, yes,
and
he
trying
is
to get at the microphones.
Yeah, trying to keep him away from those.
Yeah.
Doing
a very admirable job.
Yeah. So, Ellie said, a haunt building for us.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Chris Gay said, a vinyl-wrapped hearse setup with a sound system and lighting for parades and marketing events.
Ooh, I like that one. That's some good thinking there.
Yeah, I like that. Tim Fowler said the new Beastcraft pumpkin dude, which I'm going to have to look up because I went over to the Beastcraft and they are doing a 20% off sale right now. Nate said if money was no object, and that's Nate Dingham,
yeah.
Would have a shitload of ghost ride props. So I'll also have to look at those.
Yeah. I actually hopped on Fright Props to see if there was anything that jumped out at me that I wanted when I came up with this question. And, yeah, there's a lot of things, but my problem is I'm not a prop guy.
Yeah.
I like my actors. I like my 2x4 technology.
Right.
But I would love some really high-end masks.
Yeah, well, one of the ones that comes out of the bushes,
you know,
that's on the jack thing that comes out.
Yeah, the pneumatic ram. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool for the front yard.
Yeah.
But I think it would also be too scary.
Yeah. we keep the front yard tame. Well, that's some great answers. By the way, if you have an answer to this question, once again, to repeat, if money were no object, what haunt-related item would you run out and buy immediately? What are you getting stat? God damn it, Snowball. Oh, well. It's the cat show. Can't help it. Anyways, but what prop would you run out? What item would you run out and buy, like, right away? Let us know. You can tell us at hauntweekly.com. You fire the contact form there. Haunt Weekly on Twitter. DMs are open. Also, you can reply. We'll post this podcast on Twitter. You can hit reply.
Yeah.
You can also find us at Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Leave a comment. Send us a message. Also acceptable. Mm-hmm. You can leave a comment at youtube.com/hauntweekly. And though you can't comment or do really get back to us there, we're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all the places you get your podcast, Spotify, so on and so forth. Well, I think that's it. We packed this episode very full.
Yes, we did.
So on that note, everyone, thank you very, very much for joining us for this past hour. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, episode number 243, talking about social media for haunters. Next week's 244. That means it's time to do
the news.
We'll see you then, and maybe we'll be sober for it. I can't promise that, but how depressing it's likely going to be.
Yeah.
See you then.